WFXX.
The Fox. Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It is time for a magnificent, a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and the air smells so fresh. The sun looks so bright. Life is good. And the Steelers are heading to the playoffs. We will have more on the sports scene coming up in the second segment of today's big show. If you've forgotten, and, you know, it's been a while, so it's me, Ironhead, Jeff Byers. I used to be on the radio in this
area.
There
he is, yeah.
It's Scott Giese. He was on the radio.
Last year,
For many, many years, and we're back and ready for 2026. And if last night is any indication, 2026 is going to be a great year, everybody! Let's enjoy it together.
Unless you're a Ravens fan.
If you're a Ravens fan, that's what you get for being a Ravens fan. You should know better.
Oh, that's cruel.
You should know better.
Come on.
No, that's on them.
That's low.
That's on them. You had the choice, and you made the wrong choice. I can't do anything about that. Phone line is open. If you're a Ravens fan and you want to call in and cry, I'll listen.
We'll give you the floor.
I'll listen. If you're a Steelers fan and you want to call in and rejoice, do it, baby! Let's do it! 814-954-7266. There's lots of other stuff going on. But, I mean, the Steelers are going to the playoffs! He missed it wide right!
Yeah, after Chris Boswell missed it wide right.
It is...
what a weird game.
It is a beautiful morning. Again, open phone time to start things off here in the new year. Hope everybody enjoyed the holidays. We certainly did. We are getting right back into full swing, though. The Deer Mad Turtle has been cleared. The pinky, the ankle, all healed up. Yeah. I'm knocking on formica, wood, iron in my head,
anything
I can knock on. As of right now, I think we're going back to wrestling and rock climbing this week, along with school. So we're excited about all of that. Actual, honest to God, physical activity for the first time in several months for the Deer Mad Turtle. So we are going full bore back into the swing of things here at our household. But, man, excited for the new year, and even a little more so after last night. And, you know, that was on the heels of the Penn State wrestling team just kicking some butt down at the Southern Scuffle. Oh, it was a good weekend, all in all. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. Happy 2026. You're live on the air. Caller?
Caller, are you there?
Well, we
did have somebody call in.
We're very close to having
great
an exciting
start.
First call of 2026, right? So the way it works, you'll dial in.
It's been a little while. Yeah,
we'll pick up the phone. Now, you may, you know, hear a little dead air at first, although right now that should not be the case. You should just be hearing our voice. And then the way it works, when we say, good morning, you're live on the air, you're going to say, good morning, guys! Happy 2026! How about them Steelers? How about that Penn State wrestling team? All right, that's the way that works.
I see.
And then you can, you know, go on if you have any points to make or, you know, things that you think are more pressing than college wrestling and the Steelers are going to the playoffs! Come on. I guess you could chime in with, you know, thoughts on Venezuela, thoughts on Santa Claus, and, you know, was the big guy good to you over the holidays? All of those things.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take
Let's
two.
Let's try again. All
right, we'll good try morning, again. Dear caller. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott. Hey, how about those Steelers?
Hey,
how about that Penn State wrestling?
Yes,
what about that Penn State wrestling? Man, take the second team somewhere south. They kick everybody's ass. I don't know what to tell you.
Whoa.
Now we're talking. This is the way you get a call started here in the new year.
Well, my antenna is going to fall off my roof here shortly, so I may lose you guys. But
understood.
But and that's a fact. But Jeff, could you give me a quick rundown on the wrestling? We couldn't catch you. You didn't broadcast. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, we were trying to find it. I guess it was on something that I can't afford. So
understood. Yeah, Flow Wrestling.
But I did get we got some reports and stuff from a friend of mine and. Sound like they did pretty good. I'm assuming they must have won a team title. Is that true?
That is true, which is
okay. Fairly
remarkable. But yeah,
I've also heard that I think Nagel may be done.
I don't know that for sure just yet, but I think we may find more information this week.
Did I also understand that Braden Davis won some other tournament at his weight class?
He
at 141?
Did. Yep, the Kaufman opened up in Edinburgh yesterday and went 4-0 with all four wins of the bonus point variety. Looked very good in that tournament.
Are we assuming that he may be in that slot if a gal can't go?
I think it is a possibility. I think I'm guessing there's a lot of discussion or has been a lot of discussion over the last 24 hours within the coaching staff about just how they want to move forward and discussions with the wrestlers. But certainly, looking at the overall picture, Braden Davis would seem like a very good option. And, you know, they obviously have to pull him out of what was planned to be a redshirt campaign for him this year. But they have some other options there, so we'll see. Again, I think we'll likely get some more information from Kale at the weekly presser this week, and then maybe get a clearer idea once you see who goes here on Saturday against Rutgers.
Right. You assume I can never remember the former 25-pounder who filled in there.
Nate Desmond, yep.
Desmond, is he going to be just too small to do that? Or I'm assuming if he does go up there, he'll probably stay there.
I mean, for this season, I think that would be the case. Again, I'm guessing a lot of the discussion that is going on internally right now, and including with Nate and with Braden, hey, what are you guys thinking in terms of the retaining the redshirt status, coming out and competing? How do you feel about your, the way you could compete at that
right.
weight? All of that, but again, they have some options there, which is the good news.
Right. Now, I did not hear, what was Barr's result?
He won the title at the Southern Scuffle.
Okay. Was that guy ranked like third or something?
Yes. He majored Stephen Little in the finals. 9-1 was the final.
So it looks like we might squeak by with a 97-pounder this year.
I think he'll be serviceable. Yeah.
Now what was the deal with heavyweights? My friend, I think I understood him to say that he injury defaulted or something.
Yeah, medically forfeited out after getting to the semifinals. Haven't talked to anybody to verify, but it sounded like maybe some illness more than an injury.
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what, he's a pretty viable option at heavyweight. He's got some size on Marisol, right?
They're very comparable. They're both right around 230. He's a few pounds heavier right now, but they're very comparable.
Well, you've got to get Marissa on those milkshakes and banana splits and get them over there to Marisol's place.
There you go. I'm willing to help out with the gaining weight diet.
Okay, well, I'm certain that she has nothing else to do, so tell her to get on that.
That's exactly right.
And I mean this in the kindest of way. I love her. She's a good woman. And, you know, so you, I'm sure, taking good care of her. Well, I'm not sure of that. But so at any rate, good to talk to you guys. And we did okay, but I think this is one and done for the Steelers, unfortunately.
What are you talking about? We're going to the Super Bowl!
Well, they might be, but they're going to be buying tickets.
Good one.
How dare you?
That's a good one.
Okay. How dare you rain on my parade this morning?
Yeah, well, I did my best with the intro, so you know that
it was a good
thing out of me.
Yeah, the start of your call was much stronger than the finish. I'm just gonna say you got to work on finishing strong the way the Penn State wrestlers.
There you go. Yeah.
We appreciate the call, nonetheless.
All right, thanks for the call. Now we have our wrestling update for the day, ladies and gentlemen. So holy smokes! All right, we have an open line show today. Is Joe joining us later? Joe Bastardi?
Entirely possible.
Entirely. So we might be talking a little weather next hour, like we normally do.
Uh-huh.
We got a heat wave coming, folks. If somehow you're not paying attention. Now, again, temperatures in the 40s, all right, heat wave. Not today. Probably starting, I guess, tomorrow, and it might last a good week. That's the good news, if you want to call it good news. We'll probably get some rain in there. Okay. So if you still have snow on your lawn, it's probably not going to last too much longer. So, you know, stay tuned. Of course, everywhere today, parents are rejoicing. Parents are rejoicing.
Oh, yeah.
The kids are going back to school.
You got that right.
And I'm sure they're all excited. Some of them are excited. At church yesterday, I ran into a couple of teacher friends, and I said, you're excited to go back to school tomorrow, right? And they both turned and looked at me like, yeah.
You lost your ever-loving mind.
Like, yeah. Like, okay. I stepped into one there. But all the kiddies are going back to, I think everywhere, going back to school today. And then we'll see what happens, all right? Somebody's excited. It's kind of like, you know, the first day of school and all that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
It won't last. It might last a couple of days. Yeah, okay, parents enjoy. Okay, kiddo, go to school, all right? Have a nice day. Here's your lunch or whatever. Bye. So there we go. Countdown to this weekend and the annual Pennsylvania Farm Show. Down at the arena in Harrisburg will begin on the 10th, which would be Saturday, right? Yeah. The 10th to the 17th. I'd love to. I haven't been to the farm show in many, 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 many moons.
They have milkshakes.
And butter sculptures.
Which is really all you need to know.
Milkshakes. Okay. I don't know. Might want to have to find a way to swing down there next week. I had a friend tell me, and my friend's a farmer. I said, okay, farm show week is notorious for being cold, like, and my friend's like, no, that's a myth. I'm like, really? I always kind of remembered. Now, granted, it's January. It's supposed to be cold. Now, that's not this week. That's next week. We have warmth, apparently, this week. Then next week, it's not supposed to be, like, cold, but... Okay, we'll see what happens. We have open lines today. A week ago, I kind of wondered, okay, Jeff and I are taking an extended break because we can. And so we did. So we hope you enjoyed Fox Sports and, you know, other stuff. And I just, you know, a week ago I thought, gee, we're going to come back. Okay, yeah, we'll talk about Penn State wrestling. Okay, did that. Penn State football, yeah, we'll get on to that. I mean, lots of things happening. Gee, you know, maybe the Steelers, depending on what they do. And again, that game, the fourth quarter last night was, if you didn't stay up to watch it or listen to it, we had it, it was wild. So we'll have more on that later on. And then I thought, nah, there's just not that much else going on.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you were thinking?
Surprise! And we'll get on to this later on. I mean, between Venezuela, Iran, things are happening in Iran, okay? And then the Minnesota fraud scandal. Holy mackerel. We have a lot to talk about. It's incredible. We're going to save most of that for later in the show. All right? There's a lot of things going on right now. Folks, this could become a very historic week. Now, I could be wrong, but let's sit tight and see what happens. I'm talking in news now. Not
because
in
the Steelers will win their first playoff game.
That's historic.
That's kind of historic. In the making, baby.
Okay. We'll save that for a little later on.
Okay.
Now, I was talking more newsy stuff. This could be an historic week. By the time we get to Friday, let's see if I'm right on this. I mean, there are some things that could happen. Well, the first thing's already happened, the Venezuela thing, although that's going to be ongoing. I tell you, keep an eye on Iran. If you follow social media especially, for some reason our big media sources are, some things are happening in Iran. And then you go on social media and you see some of the video, there's a lot of things happening in Iran right now. The question is, will it lead to something? All right? And then the Minnesota fraud thing is just... okay, keep your language clean. Bizarre, weird, angering. I saw one. Now, this is some social media pundit, all right, from, I guess, last night.
Oh,
he expects
pundits.
Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, to resign probably any day now. Maybe. Okay, we'll see what happens. But, well, again, let's save a little bit of that for later on. And if you have thoughts on any of those things, we'll have the phone lines open and so on. I'm going to do one thing tonight that I haven't done in an extremely long time. No, not that. Okay. I don't watch me. This is Scott. I don't watch the nightly news. I just don't. All right. Either I'm busy doing something, doing some high school basketball announcing this winter, which is a lot of fun, or doing some other work things and so on. I mean, I'm talking about the 6:30 nightly news, especially on the big three, ABC, NBC, CBS. I haven't watched that in ages, either because I'm busy or because I think, okay, do I really want to watch this because my feeling is that the news is a bit slanted, tilted, and all that sort of thing. Well, CBS tonight, they already started. The Venezuela action kind of spurred them to start over the weekend. They were originally going to start tonight with their new evening news setup with a new anchor and allegedly sort of a new outlook on how they're going to report news. And Tony DeCopel, I think I pronounced his name right, is the new anchor. He put an online video out, actually this was a few days ago, about, we're changing how we're doing things here at CBS, blah, 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 okay. So I'm either, depending on what I'm doing this evening, I'm either going to watch it live or I'm going to record it and watch it later. Will it be a real change? Will you be able to discern a change? In other words, more, how do I put this, balanced news coverage from a national perspective? That's what they claim they're going to do. All right, CBS News under new management. Some people like it, some people hate it. All right, fine, that's fine. Is it actually going to be different? Okay. Now, WTAJ, locally, of course, is the CBS affiliate. I'm thinking they're cheering down there because I want to see somebody's going to be watching the ratings tonight. CBS has been in third place in the big three for a very long time. I mean, it's not even been close. Tonight, I expect that might change, at least for a night. All right, that a lot of folks are going to tune in to CBS to say, okay, let's see what's different. So I'm going to either watch it live or watch it recorded tonight, and then I'll make it, Now, granted, one night is one night. That's not a lot, but they certainly have plenty of news stories to report on, don't they? We just listed some of those. Crazy stuff. So, if you want to tune in, free plug, I guess, for WTAJ for the 6:30 nightly news. And then we'll see if it actually is different. Okay, we'll see. All right, I've seen a couple versions of this story. The popular baby names for Center County in the past for 2025. So statecollege.com has a version. Center Daily Times has a version. I don't know, there might be one or two other versions out there. But Mount Nittany Medical Center put out like a release, I guess about a week ago or so. Here's the most popular baby names of 2025. Now, this would be local baby names, all right? Not one of the national or international things. This is interesting. I didn't realize this. Now, both my girls, a very long time ago, were born at Mount Nittany, all right? Over 1,300 babies delivered at Mount Nittany last year. Wow. I mean, do the quick math. That's an average of about four a day. I didn't think the number would be that high. So that right there, that caught me by surprise. All right, let's see. The most popular girls and boys baby names. All right, let's start with girls. All right, and we'll go in. They have a top five listed here if you haven't seen this story. Now, again, this is locally. All right, this is right here. So number five for the girls is Amelia. Number four is Layla. That's interesting. Number three is Ella. Number two is Charlotte. That's making a comeback, I guess. And number one, and I think it's number one again, maybe, is Sophia. Sophia, a very popular name for girls. All right. For the boys, number five on the list is Lucas. All right. Number four is John. Traditional, I guess. Number three is James. Yeah, that's traditional, too. Number two is Hudson. I thought, really? Hudson.
Not as traditional.
Hudson. Okay. And number one for the boys is Oliver. All right. So I saw some blurb. The first new baby for 2026 was a proud couple, I believe, from Snowshoe. And their little guy showed up apparently on January 1st, not long after, you know, the ball came down and all that sort of stuff. So congratulations to those new parents. And we always want to see if the names are going to change, you know, popularity and all that sort of stuff. So somewhere out there is a national list. I'll have to see if I can go find it. See how that kind of matches up with the local list. Very interesting stuff. All right, we're going to take a break here. Good to be back. All right, yes, the break was restful. There was some challenging weather, of course, at times in there. Santa Claus did a nice job at my house. Way to go, Santa. All right, ring
Nicely
the bell.
Nicely done, big guy.
Right, ring the bell for Santa. He did pretty well. All right. My dog, Domino, turned 2 years old. He's a New Year's guy. He was born on New Year's Day.
Wow, happy birthday.
Ago. Very easy to remember his birthday. But he turned the big two just a few days ago, all right? Enjoyed the Pinstripe Bowl. Enjoyed some of the other bowls. Maybe we'll do some sportsy talk, like, okay, college football playoffs. The crazy portal, which is really, oh my gosh, it's a crazy portal. This year, this transfer portal, and we're only a few days in, for goodness sakes. This is absolutely nuts. And Venezuela, and Iran, and Minnesota. Oh, we have plenty to talk about, but first we have to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We're getting warmed up. We'll be right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League. All of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle into coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
Fox Sports. You know, a hotel's just a hotel.
But a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts?
Mm-mm-mm.
So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Gonna be fun, baby! Steelers heading back to the Super Bowl. Just need a few more wins, and that'll happen. Huh?
Yeah.
What? Steelers are they're just a few wins away now.
That's true.
Heading to Super and Bowl 60, baby!
And they're in, so there we go.
That is true. They could do it.
Yes, okay. And now the sports.
Well, I mean, it could happen.
Well, of course they could. There's 14 total teams. Two of them will make it to the Super Bowl. And the Steelers are one of the 14.
So there you go, baby!
There we go. Okay.
All right, let's start with some Penn State football news. Lots of news since the Nittany Lions' big 22-10 win over Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. The Bad Boys Mowers Bowl.
Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe
Bowl. That was fun to see the grass being thrown all over
Terry Smith.
Yeah.
At the end of that game. Danton Lynn is coming back, baby. He was officially named the defensive coordinator of the Nittany Lions. The Penn State football alum had served as USC's defensive coordinator the past two seasons and was in the same role with UCLA for a year before that. Lynn spent 9 years previously coaching in some league called the National Football League. I'll have to look into that. I understand there's some pretty good experience that can be gained being in that league.
Sure.
Penn State has picked up a bunch of transfer additions from Iowa State over the weekend, and a bunch more even before that. But quarterback Rocco Becht has made it official. He is following Matt Campbell to Happy Valley. Quarterback Alex Mansky is also joining the Nittany Lions. Others joining Penn State from Iowa State include wide receiver Brett Eskildsen, running back Carson Hansen, offensive lineman Cole Cole, linebacker Kale Brazina, offensive lineman Trevor Burr, wide receiver Karen Brookins, defensive lineman Elijah Carnell, tight end Ben Brommer, offensive lineman Will Tompkins, safety Marcus Neal Jr., and tight end Gabe Burkle, along with linebacker Cooper Ebel. Penn State also adding an Iowa State recruit previously, Josiah Zayas, as an athlete to the recruiting class here that'll be coming in for next season. Meanwhile, linebacker Amari Campbell, doggone it, announced that he is entering the transfer portal from Penn State. Freshman tight end Andrew Olesch has also entered the transfer portal, and so too now has defensive tackle Caleb Artis. And wide receiver Tysier Denmark and cornerback Zion Tracy and Jameer Joseph, along with offensive lineman Malachi Goodman, all announcing they will be returning to Penn State next season. Overall,
I can't keep track.
Yeah, it's there's a whole lot.
It's insane.
Overall, I think Penn State is we're just going to have to see how it shapes up next season. But I think there's a nice collection. There's a few guys that, man, really would have liked to have seen them stayed, but that are hitting the transfer portal. But some other key pieces that are staying, and obviously, as was expected, a ton of Iowa State players making the move from Ames to Happy Valley for next season. And we'll just have to see how it all fits together. Deontay Sheffy, the running back from State College, who is a Syracuse commit, is also now reportedly visiting Penn State. So keep an eye on that. There's some other potential coaching movement out there that Penn State could be adding some pieces still to that coaching staff. And again, there's a lot of still moving parts, even as some of this stuff starts to settle down a little bit. Linebacker remains a big concern now for Penn State, though. With Campbell hitting the transfer portal, Keon Wiley hit the transfer portal, Anthony Speca, Dakari Nelson. I think I'm missing somebody there, but they were already thin there. Now they've picked up a couple from Iowa State, and we'll just again keep an eye on all of it. There is a lot going on out there, coming and going from Penn State football, and for that matter, all of college football. At some point, they've got to get their hands around this a little bit and put in some parameters via the contracts for these players. But that's not this year. So we'll just keep an eye on it. Meanwhile, college football semifinals are now set. On Thursday night, it'll be Miami and Ole Miss meeting in the Fiesta Bowl. And then on Friday night, it will be a Big Ten battle between undefeated and top-seeded Indiana. They whooped Alabama. And Oregon. Indiana and Oregon in the Peach Bowl on Friday night. The winners will then meet 2 weeks from tonight for the national championship this season. Should be a good game there between Indiana and Ole Miss. Looking forward to that one. That's a free information ahead of time that
thanks,
you already
thanks,
know now
Dad, for telling
who
us that,
is
yeah.
going to be playing in the title game.
Okay.
Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen. That worth staying up for, or was that worth staying up for? I'm just here to tell you that was worth staying up for. Now, led to about 4 hours of sleep for yours truly because I could not get myself calmed down. Meanwhile, everybody else in the house is out.
Yeah, I can't.
So I can't even, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I can't yell. So I'm pumping my fists in the air. I'm stomping my feet as kind of subtly as I can. I'm like, oh, baby. And I can't get to sleep after that. And then at about 4:15 this morning, the Deer Keen Eye, our beloved Pooch, comes over and licks my face and says, hey,
come on,
it's time to go for a walk. How about we wait a couple of hours? We got to go now.
You don't need the medicated drink this morning.
Okay, Keen Eye. But, man, all worth it. The beloved Pittsburgh Steelers are Super Bowl bound, or at least playoff bound. But, I think they're going to the Super Bowl now. A wild, and I do mean wild, 26-24 win over the despicable Baltimore Ravens last night at Heinz Acrisure Stadium. And, by the way, a little Acrisure magic last night. Am I right or am I right?
Okay.
At the end of the day. Man, if you didn't stay up, I'm just telling you, the emotions in the final 4 minutes of that game, a roller coaster, and we went to Hershey Park this summer, and we did all but one of the roller coasters, and it's just we ran out of time. Our goal was to do every single one, and we missed only one. It was very reminiscent of my day at Hershey Park.
Okay.
I mean, up and down. Oh, there goes my stomach. Where he left it? Somewhere back there. Oh, no, this is fun. This is exhilarating. Oh, no, it's too scary. It was too emotional.
It was wild.
The Ravens rookie kicker, Tyler Loop, he missed it. Wide right, a 44-yard field goal attempt, wide right on the final play of the game, and it preserved the Steelers' 26-24 win. And with that, Pittsburgh takes the AFC North Division title for the first time since 2020. The division title is the eighth for head coach Mike Tomlin, who is leading the Steelers to the playoffs for a 13th time in his 19 seasons. Aaron Rodgers, he's the quarterback for the Steelers this year. He threw for 294 yards and a beautiful touchdown to Calvin Austin for the final points of the game. And you may be saying to yourself, self, Ironhead forgets that there's an extra point after touchdowns. No, I did not forget.
Yeah.
Boz missed it!
Yes.
I can't believe it! That could come back and haunt you! Unless Tyler Loop misses wide right on a 44-yard field goal attempt, which he does.
Both kickers, wow.
It was crazy. The fourth quarter, I mean, it was like a typical Steelers-Ravens slugfest through the first three quarters, and then the Ravens scored. Can somebody keep Zay Flowers in front of you? Sorry. That was a momentary frustration. Several momentary frustrations with Mr. Flowers getting behind the defense last night. But all's well that ends well. Steelers rallied from a 10-0 deficit there ends up being four touchdowns in the fourth quarter, including three in the final 4 minutes of the game. I mean, it was crazy. Missed extra point by the Steelers. The missed field goal that preserves the win for Pittsburgh at the end from Baltimore. It was, I mean, this one is an epic game that will go down very memorable for different reasons for both organizations in one of the great rivalries in the NFL. Again, that fourth quarter and especially the final 4 minutes, just as crazy as it could get. Steelers now advance to the playoffs. They will host the Houston Texans in the wild card round 1 week from tonight. And the other wild card games now will have the Panthers hosting the Rams and the Bears entertaining the Packers on Saturday. Mm. Then three games on Sunday, including the Philadelphia Eagles. They will be at home with the 49ers. They'll be the middle game, the late afternoon game. Leading off Sunday's action will be the Jaguars hosting the Bills. Ooh, color me intrigued on that one. And the Chargers will visit the Patriots. The Eagles yesterday rested a lot of starters. They lost to the Commanders 24-17. Big yawn. Who cares? In other action on the final weekend of the regular season, it was the Buccaneers beating the Panthers 16-14. The Buccaneers have a chance to make the playoffs, but they don't because the Falcons beat the Saints. Also on Saturday, though, the Seahawks shut down the 49ers 13-3. Falcons beat the Saints 19-17 with the Atlanta victory. It assured Carolina winning the division and getting into the playoffs and sent Tampa Bay home for the playoff portion of the season this year. 19-17. Falcons hold off the Saints. Miles Garrett set the single season sack record in the Browns. 20-18 victory over the Bengals. Garrett with 23 sacks this season. He sacked poor Joe Burrow in that one. Burrow looked a little bit leaguered. Watched a little bit of the post-game press conference there. Rough.
He wants out of town.
I think he wants out.
He wants out of town.
I think he may be done with, but he just, not a happy camper. Elsewhere, the Texans, outscored the Colts 38-30 for what will be their final win of the season. They'll remember that victory over Indianapolis fondly, before getting bounced, a week from tonight
by
in
the
Pittsburgh, in the playoffs. The Vikings down the Packers 16-13. The Jaguars rolled over the Titans 41-7. The Giants doubled up on the Cowboys 34-17. Huh, where is Dallas in the playoffs? Oh, no, they're not making it either. no Dallas Cowboys.
Happy man.
Right. No Baltimore Ravens. No Bengals. No Browns. Ah, oh, it's a playoff that is going to be glorious.
You're a happy
Steelers
man.
Steelers getting ready for their Super Bowl run. Rams defeated the Cardinals 37-20. Raiders edged the Chiefs 14-12. Kansas City not going to the playoffs. Lions got past, who did they play? I have got past the
Bears.
Lions, and I'm pretty sure
Bears.
That's not right. Thank you.
Yes.
They got past the Bears, 19-16. Gonna make that little correction to the edit. And the Patriots pulled away in the second half for a 38-10 win over the Dolphins. Broncos beat the Chargers 19-3, and the Bills soared past the Jets. See what I did there? 35-3.
You want to hear a stat?
Jets are not going to the playoffs either.
No.
I would love to hear
You want to hear a stat?
I would love to hear a stat.
If there's a Jets fan out there, first off, God love you. All right? May God love you. The Jets, I saw this yesterday. I'm like, are you serious? They became the first team to, they did not have one interception all season. The Jets
defense
did not have one interception in 17 games. That's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
That's incredible.
With as much as teams put it up in the air these days. I mean, somewhere you just figure a
one
did it pass gets deflected and falls into your arms.
TJ
Watt. TJ Watt last night. Oh man. What I tell you, when I think back on that game, I mean the ebbs and the flows and the the moments where you're like, oh man, it's over. Wait, no, they're gonna win. No, it's over. No, they're gonna
back and forth.
Oh. I'm telling you, it did not do my heart any good, but all worth it when we win another Super Bowl here this season.
Okay.
Penn State wrestling team had a strong showing at the Southern Scuffle in Chattanooga over the weekend. Penn State winning the team title as the Nittany Lions crowned 5 champions. Connor Pierce at 149, Joe Seeley, who looks really good this year at 157, Will Hankel, the true freshman at 174, Asher Cunningham, true freshman, 2-time PIAA state champion from State College at 184, Josh Barr at 197, he defeated third-ranked Stephen Little in the finals, 9-1, and Penn State just looked terrific. Also, Penn State's Braden Davis winning the title at the Kauffman Open at Edinburgh yesterday at 141. Also, Lucas Cochran medically forfeited out of the semifinals and finished 6th at heavyweight at the Southern Scuffle. And Hayden Cunningham, Asher's brother and a fellow State High alum, took 3rd at 141 at the Kauffman Open. Again, really strong showing for Penn State at the tournaments over the weekend. The Nittany Lions will return to dual meet action Saturday afternoon, hosting Rutgers in the Big Ten opener at 4 o'clock in Rec Hall. Penn State hockey team split its home-and-home series with RIT at Pagoula yesterday. It was Penn State rolling to the 7-3 victory behind a third-period hat trick from senior defenseman Jared Crespo. Also scoring goals for the Nittany Lions yesterday were Aiden Fink, Jackson Smith, Charlie Serrato, and Cade Christensen. Penn State did not score a goal, though, in the first game of the series as Penn State was stunned at RIT Saturday night, 1-0. The Nittany Lions fired off more than twice as many shots as RIT in that one. Jacob Karabchak, their goalie, was sensational. Unbelievably good on Saturday night. He stopped 44 shots to blank the Nittany Lions and allow the Tigers to pull off the upset. Josh Fleming had 20 saves in goal for Penn State. So the Nittany Lions split on the weekend. Penn State will return to Big Ten action this Friday and Saturday with games against Minnesota at Pagoula Ice Arena. Penn State women's hockey team, starting the new year not the way they were hoping. They were swept in a pair of games at Ohio State by scores of 5-1 and 4-1. Tessa Janicki scored the only goal for Penn State in Saturday's game. She now has the Penn State record for career goals with 75. Maddie Christian scored the Penn State goal in Friday's loss. Penn State now 18-3 on the season. The Nittany Lions will play at Mercyhurst this Friday and Saturday afternoon. Penn State men's basketball team struggling offensively and falling to Illinois 73-65 Saturday night at the Palestra in Philadelphia. Caden Mingo leading the Nittany Lions with 16 points, 5 assists, and 4 steals. Eli Rice had 11 points and 4 rebounds. Penn State drops to 9-5 on the season, 0-3 in the Big Ten. Tomorrow night, Penn State will get a big opportunity hosting second-ranked Michigan in a 7 o'clock tip-off at the Bryce Jordan Center. If you've not been paying attention, Michigan looks to me like they might be pretty decent this year.
Number two,
Lord, are they...
They're loaded.
Yes. They look every bit the part of a national title contender here in 2026. The red-hot Pittsburgh Penguins Super Bowl followed by a Stanley Cup championship.
Okay. Oh, it's going to be a great year,
this 2026. And then the Pirates win the World Series!
Stop it! Stop right there.
Ironhead suddenly woke up and realized he was still in the middle of a sports cast.
Yes.
Red Hot Pittsburgh Penguins have now won 5 straight. Pittsburgh needed overtime yesterday to beat the Blue Jackets in Columbus 5-4. Some fella by the name of Sidney Crosby completed the dramatic come-from-behind win with the overtime goal. Pittsburgh rallied from a 4-1 deficit in that one. Huh. It's nice to be on the other side of those.
Yes. Ring the bell.
Yes. They pulled out the victory. Penguins also beat Detroit on Saturday 4-1. Sidney Crosby had a couple of assists in Saturday's win. Penguins and Flyers now tied for third in the Metropolitan Division with 49 points apiece. They're just a couple of points off the lead. Philadelphia Flyers on Saturday defeated the Oilers 5-3. Nick Seeler and Owen Tippett each had a goal and an assist to lead the Philadelphia attack. And that is a little something we like to call sports. And so, you know, we do.
So we do. All right. Yeah, the Penguins, oh boy, Penguins are a streaky team.
Yes,
if I count,
that is fair to say.
If I count right, they've won 6 of their last 7. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, if I count right, they lost 8 in a row. And
well,
then,
that
yay!
Was,
I mean, they were almost in the bottom of the division. And then all of a sudden now, bing, now they're up near the top of the division. Go figure.
Oh, a couple of other results. Penns Valley girls basketball. By the way, you can send me high school results, JV results, junior high results, or middle school results, I guess it is these days. And you can send me elementary school results. We will pass along the information that folks get me. You can either text me. My cell number is 814-441-0434. Sincerely, I would love to get as much information about what's happening in our area as possible, on the sports front in particular with our kiddos. So you can text me again, 814-441-0434, or you can email me as several folks. Penns Valley's really good about emailing me results at ironhead99@hotmail.com. Yep, I kick it old school. ironhead99@hotmail.
Yes.
Yep, it still works.
Yep.
.com. ironhead99@hotmail.com. Penns Valley girls basketball defeating Juniata Valley on, this would have been Saturday. 50-41 the final there. Paige Johnson with 17 points. Elle Dinges with 10 and Lily Smith with 8 as Penns Valley now 6-4 on the season, 4-3 in conference play. And Penns Valley will be back in action at Bellefonte. That's another Center County team. That'll be Friday night. Varsity only for that one. That'll be a 6 o'clock tip off on Friday night in Bellefonte. And I think, hang on, I thought I had one other.
There was some other high school action over the break. Not much.
Well, over the break, yes. I'm talking about over the week.
Oh.
Yep, that's what I got. So that is a check of sports here.
All right.
Yes, there was lots of action over the break. Yeah, we're not recapping the entire week.
No, because we'd be here till like 11 o'clock or something.
Take a break here. We're back with some open phone time on the other side. Get those dialing fingers ready and be ready to talk. Let's rejoice in the Steelers Super Bowl run all morning long here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home, decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
I see y'all waving those terrible towels this morning.
Coming down from the gallows that I don't have very long.
Yeah! Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful night in Pittsburgh it was last night. Down go the Ravens as the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers are now en route to the Super Bowl. Again, need to win a few games here, and then we get to watch the Steelers back in the Super Bowl. Starts with a big win over the Texans 1 week from tonight.
All right. Folks, we got some open line time. We have guests tomorrow and Wednesday. Interesting guests tomorrow and Wednesday. Tomorrow, former Congressman Jim Gerlach is going to join us on the phone. We're going to talk about civics. He's involved with an organization to try to boost civics learning in schools.
Well, there's a lot to learn there because now Honda's done a really good job in developing the civics. And I like the hatchback feature, but a lot of it now is computerized. And so the old school mechanics don't translate as well. It's a lot of computer parts, but I'm excited. We have a Honda Pilot and a CRV ourselves, but I do like the Civics as well.
Yeah, Jim is going to talk
about that tomorrow.
He's going to talk about auto mechanics.
Yeah, it'll be. I will be intrigued.
I don't know about that.
Huh?
I think we're talking about civic education, as in how our government works and stuff like that. Not car mechanics.
Our government works?
Yes. All right. But also, as a former congressman, with all the stuff that's been happening in the past week, I've already warned them. I've said, we're going to talk to you for a part of the interview as if you're a current congressman. In other words, give us reactions to Venezuela, Iran, Minnesota. And so I'm actually looking forward to tomorrow's show. Should be quite interesting.
Well, we shouldn't be that uncivil to them, saying the things that we would say to our Congress people. Those no good.
Well,
now we're going to have to bleep every other word.
We'll have to keep it clean, all right? Because I think the bleeper is broken, all right? So we'll have to keep it clean, all right? Wednesday, Center County Commissioner Amber Concepcion is going to join us. It's a new year. What's going on with the county? A lot of questions there. Once again, amazingly, county's budget for this year does not have a tax increase. And I believe the number is 16 years in a row that we have not had a county tax increase. That's incredible.
We haven't had a tax increase in almost as long as the Steelers have gone without a losing record, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Almost.
Everything today somehow bends back to the Steelers.
Huh. That's
all
weird.
Right,
I hadn't picked up on that.
Did reach out to our local congressman, Glenn Thompson.
What's he think about the Steelers?
He
has them going to the Super Bowl, too!
I didn't ask him about that. I'm sorry. He is going to join us in 2 weeks. All right. And I'm assuming sometime now this
preview the AFC Championship game. I love it. Good thinking.
Okay, thank you. It's his choice, actually. What day works for you? He said Monday the 19th. I'm like, okay, fine. That works fine for us. Obviously, now again, just from the past week, you look at all the crazy stuff that's happened. I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 weeks. I mentioned earlier in the show this week could be an historic week. All right, let's watch out for that. Let me hold that thought till next. Well, actually, we're in the next hour. Surprise!
How did that happen?
Because again, there's so much sportsy stuff going on right now.
There is.
I mean, if I assume this is accurate, and again, I pulled this from social media last night, so I assume it is correct. There are over 4,500 football players in the transfer portal right now.
Wow.
Over 4,500 nationally, of course. That's a staggering. That's like 40% of all players are in the transfer portal. Like all of them, 40% of all of them have decided, whoop, whoop, whoop. I mean, I think I mentioned before we left, imagine being an Iowa State fan right now. Oh, my gosh. You lost your head coach. You lost a bunch of other coaches. You might as well, all these players that have hit the portal, they just need to take out the word Iowa and put in the word Penn. Because how many former, and none of this is a surprise. I mean, it isn't. We've been waiting for this ever since Matt Campbell was named the head coach. Like, okay, this seems inevitable. We knew some Penn State players were going to exit because, number one, it happens every year. All right. Again, the rules the way they are now, you could have a kid, Year one, this team. Year two, this team. Year three, this team. Year four, that team. And there are a bunch of guys out there like that. Boop, 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 boop. I'm pulling this quote from Amari Campbell. And, you know, he'd announced, I'm going into the portal, which hurt. Penn State fans were hoping he'd stick. All right? And, again, on social media, I don't know who produces these things, but they put together this really sniffy, smashy-looking, or what am I saying, snappy-looking graphic, which has, like, a letter from the player. You know, thank you, coach, blah, blah, you know, all this other thing. Nittany Nation, you'll always be in my heart, you know, blah, blah, all that stuff.
There's been some pretty funny stuff posted with band members and club sport kiddos getting in on the act. It's, after careful consideration and meeting with my family, I'm proud to announce I'm returning to Penn State to play trumpet for another year.
Yes, a Penn State blue band kid thinking, okay, that kid gets an A for originality.
Yes,
all right?
That's been fun.
Is he getting NIL money? No, but this is the thing I pulled from Amari Campbell's statement. He has a whole bunch of thank yous, all right, and then he says, now, I'm reading this word for word. Unfortunately, once again, I find myself in a situation where I can't allow myself to be undervalued. I have to do what's best for my family, my future, and myself. All right, that second sentence, obvious, common sense. I'm in a situation where I can't allow myself to be undervalued. Now, again, a lot of us still don't understand this NIL money stuff. Either the whole setup, who gets to determine who gets what, it's different at every school, and so on. And so, of all these guys that are going into the transfer portal, how many of them are going because, A, I want to go to a team where I have a chance to start? All right, well, that makes sense. I want to go to a team where I have a much better chance to be a starter. Every player wants to be a starter. That's obvious, okay? But I'm wondering now how much of this is tied to NIL money. I'm not getting the amount of NIL money that I think I should get. So I'm going to put myself out on the market, and I'm going to assume, maybe that's all it is. Now, I don't know if there's wheeling and dealing that happens in the back. Like, I'm not going into the portal until I have a deal. Is that the way it works? Oh, Mr. Ironhead, I'm not going into the portal unless I'm sure I have a deal from somebody. Or are they really just taking a chance, saying, well, I hope I get a deal from somebody. Now, again, over four, and we're only about 4 days into this gig. This is 2 weeks. How many of these guys are going to go into the portal and they're not going to find the deal that they were hoping to get? Now, Mr. Ironhead, if I'm correct, if a kid goes into the portal, at the end of the 2 weeks, they could end up coming right back. In other words, going nowhere.
That could happen.
Am I right?
That is correct.
It doesn't mean when I go into the portal, that's it, you're done, you're out of here. That's not what it means. I think I've got that understood correctly. A kid goes into the portal hoping that somebody out there will take him in, and of course now in NIL time, make him a deal, all right, you know, of whatever. And so when I saw Amari Campbell's comment, it screams NIL at me. He's not getting the NIL money that he thinks he's deserved. Now, you can agree or disagree with that. I don't know how much money the kid's getting. They normally don't make that public. Sometimes it kind of leaks, like, well, we figured out or we found out that so-and-so's getting this, all right? And again, when you look at the Penn State meltdown back in October, you know, some reporter, again, hopefully is working on this right now because it would be a killer story, how the whole Penn State house of cards fell apart in 2 weeks back in October. They lose to Oregon. Then they just have the worst game of the season against UCLA. What on earth happened that day? And then they come home and lose again to Northwestern. And the whole house of cards fell apart. Meanwhile, you got Indiana right now who's looking unbeatable. Boy, did they dominate Alabama. I mean, it was almost embarrassing. Indiana is that good. They're really good. Mendoza, the quarterback, I like him. I like the kid. All right? Because he's a great player. He's he's got boundless enthusiasm, this kid. He's having fun playing football.
Imagine that.
He wears his heart on his sleeve, you know, that old line. He's having a great time. As somebody who goes to church, I like to hear a kid, as soon as somebody starts an interview with him, he mentions God. All right? I kind of like that. That's Scott. That's just me. All right? He clearly has his faith, you know, that's very important to him. Great. So I'm sort of an Indiana fan here for the rest of the stretch. I can't believe I'm saying that, but it's true. All right? Indiana fan. And so Penn State was one play away from beating those guys. Either one offensive play, first down, that's all they had to get, if you remember the game, or one defensive play. And, of course, that unbelievable touchdown catch. You know, how did that kid get his toe down? How on earth did he do that?
Absolutely crazy.
And then there was one other play along the sideline. How did they make that play? Penn State is one play away from beating those guys. How did this team go into meltdown in October? And for some folks, if you follow this, you read various stories, a lot of blame put on James Franklin. Like, okay, why is so-and-so making this much NIL money when he barely does anything? And then this kid's over here, why isn't he making more? And why is that guy there making so much? And blah, 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 blah. All this NIL stuff. Is that the reason for the meltdown in October? If there's an investigative sports reporter out there, there's your story. People would like to know what the heck happened in October. And then, all right, Franklin gets fired by Pat Kraft. And then all of a sudden, all right, Terry Smith's in charge now. And they were a far more competitive team in the second half than they were in the first half. Well, why? Was this all Franklin? What changed? Does NIL really? That was the reason? And then I see this statement from Amari Campbell. He feels undervalued. I'm going to assume that somebody's already sat down with him to say, well, Amari, if you stay with us for next season, we're going to give you this much money. And Amari's response must have been, that's it? That's all I'm going to get? Okay, I'm going to hit the portal. And he has. But again, if I understand the rules right, if you go into the portal for 2 weeks and there just aren't any takers or no one gives you the deal you're expecting or wanting to get, you can go back to your original team. Yes, that's the way it works? I'm asking.
It can, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because, again, this is...
I mean, it's up to the team, but yeah.
It's not like, you know, these guys who saying, I'm leaving Penn State, I'm going into the portal. Okay, you're done forever. You're not coming back this year. All right, now you could do what King Mack did. He was here, then he went to Alabama, then he came back here. Now apparently he's going out again, if I got that right. Folks, you need a scorecard just to keep track of all this crazy stuff.
Yep.
All right. So buckle your if you're a Penn State football fan, buckle your seatbelt now for the next 2 weeks, well, week and a half, and because we're probably going to have more craziness. Like, what? Why is that guy leaving? Whoop! How much is this guy getting paid? Whoop, whoop, whoop! Just nutty stuff. All right, before we take a break, let's take a call.
All right, let's do it. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Call back number two. Hey, Scott, I just wanted to tell you, here's my take on all of this stuff, which I think we're probably the three of us at least in agreement that this NIL stuff, whether it be right, wrong, or indifferent, is absolutely ruining college sports as we once knew it.
Yes.
Now, who would have thought? I would have, maybe because I knew him, but Joe Paterno, I distinctly recall back in the day, making a statement, something similar to this. You know, these kids invest a lot of time, which they obviously do. They support virtually every other sport on campus, which they do. Why can't we give them, this is a sign of the times, $50 a week for this inner city kid to take his girlfriend out to a movie and dinner on Friday or Saturday night or Sunday morning or whatever? Which everybody went, oh, well, you can't do something like that. Now you see where we are.
Yes.
But I think the obvious question here and the answer really is, We're into point now. How do we put the genie back in the bottle? I think the only way that college sports is going to remain like it once was in our day is they're going to have to do something similar to that. How many $1,000 checks can you write to everybody on the roster every week for one NLI guy that's getting $800,000? Number one. Number two, you got 5 years to complete your degree and or your eligibility in a varsity sport. You transfer at any point, you lose a year of eligibility, and I think that's the only way this is going to get back to what it was.
Can't disagree with most of that. It's never going to get back to where it once was. That's done.
No.
That's old news. That's history. My friend has said
that too, but I think, well, when I hear that, my first reaction is, well, we got here sometime, right? it changed to this. It can go back, but it's going to take enough people to do it.
No.
And I think what we need is a board, so to speak, maybe full of like the Sabins, maybe even Urban Meyer. The people that Saban, obviously, one of the reasons he got out of coaching was just exactly this. But obviously, he had plenty of money and was aged; they could retire comfortably and so on. But I don't say that it's impossible to go back. But the trouble is, you just got to absolutely draw the line and say, from this day forward, this is what it's going to be.
Well, two things. First off, there's a bill in Congress. It's called, I think, called the SCORE Act, which stands for something, which would put like, it's like a salary cap. You know, it would put some limits, kind of like the pros. Now, it hasn't been passed yet. There's a lot of folks that want it passed. They're almost begging Congress, would you please step in and solve this problem? We're asking Congress to solve a problem. Folks, that ought to scare you right out of your shoes. Holy fright. Joe Paterno and the stipend idea, we've mentioned that here many times. Now, imagine if that had happened. They would have listened to Joe and done it. Even though right now, there would be people arguing, hey, I'm not getting enough. That stipend, I should be getting more than that. All right? Amari Campbell's comment, I'm undervalued. All right? $50 or $100 so I can take my girlfriend out, that's not good enough. I want more.
I understand that, but the argument against that is, I really don't care. You're all getting $1,000, and they're paying the same thing at Alabama. You know, the backup center, the long snapper, the third-string punter are all getting the same. It's not going to be predicated on your value to the team. Everybody gets the same amount of money. If Congress wants to do something, then legislate that it's the same at every school and every conference. But I think there is an answer there, Scott. I agree. Would it be easy to do? No. But if it's not done, college sports are finished.
I've mentioned 1,000 times this system is unsustainable. And when I've mentioned that, people nod their heads like, oh, yep, yep, yep. But it's going to take this act of Congress because the NCAA is a joke. We've known that for too many years now. All right, they're not going to solve this problem. They've blown it. That's their screw-ups that put us in this hole in the first place. It's going to take that act of Congress, but that act of Congress will not go down or get passed without a fight. Agents and people, you know, representing or working with these players, hey, this is like gravy train time right now. They don't want to give up the gravy train. They want to keep it. They're perfectly happy with this chaos. The rest of us aren't, but they are. So it's going to be a fight to see where this goes.
Give it the Arnold Schwarzenegger thing when they said something about lawyers. What do we do about the lawyers? They said, well, we shoot them first.
Okay.
That was a quote from the movie. I'm not advocating anything.
Right, thank you.
That's my disclaimer. I'm just saying. But I don't know. Scott and Jeff, I think if they really want to save the sports. I don't know that legislation is going to help if it's a cap. Now, you still got the same problem. Hey, I'm an offensive tackle that's, you know, watching this guy's blind side for $50,000 a year, and he's getting $1.8 million. You know, okay, it's under the salary cap, so to speak, but is it any more fair? Probably not.
That's a good question. We got to take a break. Thanks for your call.
Okay. Hey, thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. All right. We got to take a break. I think we have a caller coming in, but give us the time. We got to play some commercials and make our own money right here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com, made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
When winter's at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7
The Fox City
Knowledge. It feels good to see the world getting loose.
Feels good
to see the world getting
loose.
But I feel good.
So good. On this Monday morning, Jeff and Scott with you. Caller, did you hang on through the break? If you did, you're live on the air.
Yes. Jeff, Scott, great show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to chime in on this college football.
All right.
Over the weekend, I heard from, I think, this station, they were talking about NIL and how it's hurting not only teams like, you know, Iowa State, Penn State, and all over the country, but they were talking about Oregon. Oregon this week, they're playing a game against Indiana in the semifinals, and the three or four guys that they had as backups in their secondary have portaled.
Yep.
And right now, Dan Lanin has his secondary of starters, and that's it. And my thing is who's going to be the big boy in the room and actually take care of this? All it needs to be done, in my view, put the portal to start after the championship game. That it sounds so logical and reasonable. Well, why
Here's the tricky part, and I think I may have heard the same discussion, and what was being poo-pooed, and I understand it as far as it goes, because there's a lot of poo-pooing of the academic component here, but that is why, this is my solution, because the issue is, right, most schools, and it can vary a little bit, but most schools will go back like that second week of January. So like Penn State, I think the kiddos come back
next
a
Monday.
Week from today.
Yeah.
That's the case at a lot of schools. The problem is to get enrolled in classes, right, and at least for the time being, we are saying that this is still college athletics, meaning college is a component of this. And so the timing is with the start of the semesters is what's tricky, because otherwise you have a kid enrolled at Oregon for like 2 or 3 weeks. Well, academically, that becomes a mess trying to then transfer to another school after 3 weeks of classes or a week of classes or whatever it may be. Now, my solution would be, listen, let's just start a week earlier, and let's get rid of the weeks between games here and roll right through, get rid of the conference championship games, but get this thing finished up with that New Year's Day area, and then that would take care of it. But it, right now, it is a huge problem, but it's a timing thing. And while, yes, it makes sense athletically, hey, let's just push this thing back, there is the silly thing that we still call academics, and there are some of us that at least like to pretend that the student part of the student-athlete still matters to some degree.
I understand what you're talking about. I agree. I mean, that sounds very reasonable to me.
Now, you know, one of the things that has been discussed, I don't know how seriously, and I don't know at what levels, but I mean, there's been articles written on, hey, let's just remove, like, we can have the teams in the towns, and if kids want to go to school while they're at the towns, fine. But what this really is now is minor league baseball would be the closest equivalent. And so let's just remove the academic part from the football component. And again, you can still, man, if you're there and you want to take classes, that's cool. But now that would involve a entire revamping of the system. But to go back to the, let's say we keep what it is. Again, I think you can just adjust the schedule so that it is just a fall semester competitive sport and wraps up around the new year. And then everything, I think, times out a little better here anyway. But that to me is the solution, rather than trying to have kids have to figure out how to handle a transfer during, after a semester starts. It just becomes a much more complicated process. But again, there's a lot of moving parts here, and another part of this is just figuring out, somehow they've got to figure out a collective bargaining agreement. And I think that is tricky too, because right now, again, you have basically 5 years to get through 4 years of eligibility. Now, that may be changing in the very near future as well, but that's at least as of now. And working with those parameters, hey, let's figure out, can we write into the contract some different things about how this can be managed. But to the earlier caller, yeah, we are not going back. It's the same. The equivalent is free agency in pro sports. Is it different now and forevermore? Yeah. Does it mean the death of the sport? I mean, people have been predicting the death of college football and college athletics for a while now, and the numbers suggest that, nope, we still like the competition. We love watching big-time competition.
All right, caller. I think we lost.
Appreciate the
thanks for your
phone call.
That's fine.
Phone line is once again open, 814-954-7266.
Yeah, Dan Lanning mentioned, some interview clip or last week, whatever it was. This should all be done in December. The final game should be January 1st.
Yeah.
The whole shooting match should be done in December. 4 weeks in December. Bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
And then January 1st is the final. You can still play the other bowl games in there, wherever they fit. And then the portal starts right after that. And I listened to Lanning. I'm like, yeah, there it is. Now, it would mean you start the playoff pretty much, I guess, the week after the regular season ends.
Correct.
Boom, you go right into it. And probably no first-round buys. I assume that would mean, excuse me, I assume that would mean 16 teams.
Correct.
So you go 16 to 8 to 4 to 2, done. Common sense? Does that still count for something? The first-round games are played at home sites, you know, now, the higher team, whatever. Maybe the second round is the same deal. And then you get to the semifinals and finals. Then you go to these bowl games. Although I think you could do that for, let me see, 8, 4, 2, 1. 7 bowl games for the final 3 weeks. You could do that. That would work. And you rotate them so it's fair, you know, blah, 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 whatever. There's your solution, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, Coach Lanning, thank you very much. Now, will reasonable minds say, you know what, that's a good idea? I have no idea.
Well,
reasonable mind.
And the other component here, which, again, people don't like to talk about, is do we give a rip about the health of these young men, in this case with football, playing through 16 games over 17 weeks, which is pretty much what we would be talking about here, with a sport that is as violent as college football is, that is asking a lot of the young folks to endure, for their bodies and their minds to endure without getting time. I mean, you have a week in there where, oh yeah, use this week and just recoup everything. Let your body heal, let your mind rest, and then, boy, you better be ready to perform at the highest level that we demand as friends. The other 16 weeks, well, okay. So there's that component, too, for folks that care. And I don't think there's many that actually care, including the kiddos themselves, about their physical and mental well-being. But, that's a lot. You're asking them to basically play an NFL schedule. And the difference is, you see, in the NFL, you don't have classes. You don't have all of the... You are presumably a full-grown man at that point. You're not in this transitional phase of life trying to figure out all of the different things that most of us try to figure out to whatever degree we can during those important formative college years. And so...
The word maybe is overwhelming.
It's a lot.
It would be a bit overwhelming for kids anywhere from 18 to maybe 21 years old. That would be pretty overwhelming. But, hey, we're making money. Like, what's more important? I don't know. All right, we got to take a break here, all right, so that we can fit things in. We'll have some more open line time. Do we have Joe? Yes, and
do.
We do have Joe. All right, so we're going to talk some weather a little later on. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Oh, don't go anywhere. No. We got more. Yes, more. When we come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these.
Oh, wide right, I tell you. It is a beautiful Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will be joining us in about 5 minutes from now. And we'll talk all things weather. I suspect we may talk a little Southern scuffle. And you never know what else we may get into with Mr. Bastardi. Always fun to talk to Joe here on these Monday mornings. A couple of sad notes to pass along. Steve Sheets passed away at the age of 77. Yes, part of the Sheets family with the Sheets convenience stores. He was probably, I would say he was the driving force in taking Sheets to that next level. He was the president and CEO from 1981 through 1996, and that's when Sheets kind of really grew from being an Altoona family business to being a statewide and beyond family business. Wonderful philanthropist, and passed away last night at the age of 77. Certainly our sincere sympathy and condolences go out to the family and the many, many, many friends and the lives that were positively impacted by Steve Sheets during his remarkable life. And then nationally, John Mulrooney, who is just one of the funniest comedians for my money out there, just has a wonderful delivery. He passed away very suddenly over the weekend. And so locally and nationally, we lost a couple of very good figures, people that that I will miss. So rest in peace, Steve Sheets and John Mulrooney.
All right. Now, we only have a few minutes. We'll take a break, and we're going to talk to Joe. Actually, I saw an op-ed piece online that Joe wrote, so I want to ask him about it. Yeah, you know, kind of interesting stuff. AI again. Oh, my gosh. Folks, if you're not familiar with AI, you will be this year. Okay. We didn't have much time to talk about the newsy stuff. Now, again, tomorrow we're going to talk with former Congressman Jim Gerlach the main reason we're talking to him is about this group he belongs to. It's a statewide group trying to improve civics education in schools. And that's something that's really important. But we're also going to talk, I warned him, I said, Jim, we're going to talk to you like you're a current congressman.
Oh, boy.
About some current issues. I think I'll warn him again today, like he needs warning. All right. Because of all the, I mean, just the past week, the Minnesota fraud, what on earth is that? What? I saw that kid, that young man's video, Nick Shirley. Did a 42-minute video. I picked it up online a number of days ago. Like, okay, let's take a look. It's 42 minutes long, where essentially he's going in Minneapolis, which I've been to a number of times, and he's going to these Somali-run daycares that have been raking in big bucks, our bucks, tax bucks, and there's, like, nobody there. And all he's doing with his iPhone, or his phone, I don't know if it's an iPhone, cell phone, and this guy who's done a lot of the research on this, you know, he had the numbers. This daycare center is registered for this many kids, and this is how much money they've been given by the government to run their centers. And they go, and there's nobody there. And this is like in the middle of the day. This is in a city. Those daycares should have been full. And they go after one after, and some of them are on top of each other. Like, here's one, and then next door, here's one, and the next door, here's one. And all they did, all this kid, he's a young guy, he's in his early 20s, all he did was go around with his phone saying, excuse me, can you tell me if I like to put my kid in a daycare, can you give me some details? And first, he couldn't get in the door, or he was told to go away, and there's nobody there. And you're watching this, and you're like, okay, this is how much money? Millions, allegedly billions of dollars. So there's that story. There's the Venezuela story. Folks, that little operation, what was it, Friday night or Saturday morning, I guess it was, in 3 minutes, our guys fly into where Maduro is, get out of their helicopters, go in, grab him and his wife. They seem to know where he was. Arrest him. Read him his rights. That's almost hilarious. Read him his rights. Get him back in the helicopters. Off they go in 3 minutes.
Yep.
That is
what we call efficient.
I mean, you want to talk about world class. That's world class.
Well, speaking of world class, Joe Mastardi, WeatherBell.com rolls your way next.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News & World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
When winter is at its worst, snowplow professionals need the best. That's why your local Boss dealer has the ultimate lineup of snow and ice solutions you need. Front to back, Boss leads with advanced truck plows and spreaders, compact equipment, heavy equipment, and time-saving tools to clear any surface area. Keep them open with a Boss snowplow, built to back you up.
Maxwell Truck and Equipment, 1705 East Trout Road, State College. Call them at 814-234-2672.
Be a part of the best event of the winter. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
It's Let's Talk here on a magnificent, a marvelous Monday edition. Back into the swing of things here with a brand spanking new year. And it is our pleasure to welcome in none other than WeatherBell.com's Joe Bastardi to help us ring in 2026. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning, gentlemen. That's what I call you, but you know what you are.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, we appreciate know. the kindness on air.
Well, I've got to tell you, this last week, I'm getting old, and if you get old, it gets cold. And we went below freezing Monday at 2 o'clock, officially at my house. I think we go above freezing this afternoon at about 2 o'clock, and this past week has been about the worst week of weather I can remember here in State College, in that it hardly even snowed when it was cold. And I don't have much use for cold weather if there's not going to be some snowstorms around. So I'm looking forward to the upcoming 4, 5, 6 days. We get above freezing, and let me look at this real quick. I think we're going to hit the 50s later this week.
Ooh.
And this is going to be quite a thaw coming, not only for us. Well, much of the country has been warm. I talked to my son Garrett. He was out golfing. It was 86 down there in Houston. There's the bona fide U.S. blowtorch coming this week, and we will share in that. I'm looking at the temperatures here. I don't see after today any temperature really below normal here for the next 10 to 15 days. We hit 52 on Saturday, 51 on Sunday, and then we're in the 30s and 40s after that. Now, I don't trust this fully, in that there may be a period next week where it snows and it gets cold for 3, 4, 5 days. But after that, I anticipate the latter part of the month turning very warm again. And the reason this is going on is we have something called the Madden-Julian Oscillation, which I monitor religiously. It's a belt of low pressure that rotates across the tropics. And when it gets into a position where there's a lot of thunderstorms going off in the eastern Indian Ocean through Indonesia to northeast of Australia, it gets warm here, and it doesn't monkey around. And every single time I see that, I don't even care what the models have. I go, that's it. You just throw the models out. Here comes the cold. So what happens, folks, is the next 5 to 7 days get quite warm. We're probably going to get a pretty good amount of rain here on the weekend as we transition back to a chillier pattern for the following week. And that the middle of next week could get real interesting, because there could be a very cold shot. And in front of that cold shot, maybe a storm coming up the East Coast next week. But that will – excuse me, I don't know what's wrong with my voice here this morning.
All right.
That will come and go, and it will get warm for mid and late January. Now, the bad thing is that when I see those rotations like that, those rotations of what we call the Madden-Julian Oscillation, they often set up big super shots of cold air after. And so February may turn into a really cold month in much of the United States. I was going back and looking at 1933, 1934, which was, we had an interesting hurricane season that year, just like we had this year, so we're back-weighted. There were more hits in 33. And that was, by the way, the winter of Cinderella Man. Anybody remember the movie Cinderella Man? They actually got it right as to what was going on in New York City in December of 33. It was very cold, New York City. New York City, by the way, just had their coldest December since 2010. That didn't happen here, at least not at University Park, because the sighting of our thermometer on the Penn State campus automatically adds 2 degrees. I go around and I look at everybody around Pennsylvania was 4 or 5 degrees below normal, but not Penn State, only a degree and a half below normal. And that's because, you put a thermometer in the middle of a bunch of buildings. It wasn't like that when I was in college. When the Walker Building opened up, the golf course was completely exposed to the thermometer so the cold air could come in. But anyway, 33-34 was very warm in January, but was followed by the coldest February on record in the eastern part of the United States. And I'm wondering if we have some kind of setup like that going on now. And the reason I'm saying that is this movement of this Madden-Julian oscillation. You have to understand, folks, well, everybody loves screams polar vortex and atmospheric rivers. It's the tropics and what goes on in the tropics that rule the planetary climate. Because when you start getting thunderstorms going off in certain areas of the tropics, that releases so much heat into the atmosphere that the atmosphere will have to react. So I'm watching this, and what happens a lot of times is if you get that movement through 6 and 7, what happens after is all you know what breaks loose. We saw that happen, for instance, in 2021, where you had the tremendous amount of cold air that went down into the heartland of the United States. So looking at this, January looks more benign than what I thought it was when I last talked to you. Certainly was cold from Christmas to New Year's and beyond over here. And it certainly will have a 5 to 7 day period, I think, between January 10th and January 17th, where we could have some winter here. But after that, I think the latter part of the month tries to go the other way. So it's overall, we'll get a break on heating bills and all that stuff for the month of January.
There, the farm show, January 10th to the 17th. Cold, perfect.
I used to be on WLBR in Lebanon, and every time typical farm show weather, and I'm like, well, if you had the farm show in July, then maybe that wouldn't happen. That's right. Yeah, it's usually cold for the farm show. It's like, 4th of July, hot and humid, maybe a thunderstorm. Duh.
It's been very rare, Joe. You could go back and check the records for me, but I don't remember a snowstorm during Arts Festival really in my lifetime.
Not in this hemisphere, no.
I'm still waiting for the big end of Arts Festival severe weather outbreak, but that hasn't happened really either. It's certainly been hot for Arts Festival. In fact, in 1988, the hottest opening ever for the Arts Festival, my band, the Hooligans, was playing. We were playing at the Shell. We opened up the Arts Festival. And I'll never forget, I was competing the following Saturday, right? So 2 days later, I was competing. And I was sucking weight and, all that stuff. And we would end our set with Born to Run, because I'm from New Jersey and I can't sing, and neither can Bruce. So we figured, well, let's just end with a song where the lead singer can't sing, and he's from New Jersey. So anyway, when I was doing the whoa ho ho ho's at the end, I almost passed out. And all I can remember is as I was whirling around, belting out the end of Born to Run, was how is this going to look if this guy that is supposedly Mr. Physical Fitness over here just falls over on the at the Arts Festival. But then again, of course, if you look at the movie, this is Spinal Tap 2. I love the Spinal Tap movies. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy that was suggesting to make the legacy of Spinal Tap absolutely the greatest thing that ever happened, that one of them die during their last concert performance on stage. So the late Rob Reiner, who's one of the funniest people, it's a tragedy what happened to Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
But he probably stole that idea from me, because that almost didn't happen. Hey, I have an idea to save the bowl season And I've actually put it on Twitter, which is kind of interesting. And I'm not going to go into it here because I've always already babbled incoherently about some other matters. But I have this really cool idea. And actually, I've put it in front of some people, and they've gone, wow, that's a great idea. And guess what? It's based on a wrestling tournament-type scoring system. So that's a hint there. You know, wrestling can save football. All right? Just put it that way. Now, back to the weather. Great news coming up this week. If you're sick of the cold weather, I don't know why. I don't know why my voice is like this right now, because when I picked up the phone to call, it wasn't like this, but apparently God above is trying to.
I blame it on the cold weather.
Must be us.
No. Yeah. By the way, I got some interesting news, folks. I don't know if anyone should announce this, but there is a certain wrestling announcer that is going into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Who would that be?
Oh, shucks.
It would be this guy.
I would love to be the presenter for that, because I would do it a la Iron Head replica. That.
Oh, perfect.
My take on that is that I can't be old enough to get that type of honor. And also, why in the world would you lower the standards to such a degree that you would allow me in? There's a lot of great people in that Hall of Fame.
I know. I beat you to that.
I know you did. You earned it.
No, I earned it what? With a 1-4 record? No. And what was wild was the guy that presented me was Carlton Hasselrig. And I knew Carlton from when he was wrestling. And the funniest thing was I was in Oklahoma City one year, and I was going through my urban cowboy stage there, and I had these cowboy boots, and Carlton and I are talking. He goes, "Yeah, I got a pair of boots just like that." And I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah, I had to get some good cowboy boots, some nice steel tipped end boots." I go, "Like, Carlton, I'm not trying to, I know this might sound weird, but I wouldn't figure you for the cowboy look." And he goes, "Well, I had to have those boots because that's the only way I could get into the corners to kill the cockroaches in my apartment." This is what he said to me. Yeah, he was a piece of work. God rest his soul. Yeah. He was one of the Stephen Miller, who was a great heavyweight. Stephen Neal, not Stephen Miller. Stephen Neal, who was forced into wrestling retirement by Kerry McCoy, then got 3 Super Bowl rings because they said, "Well, this guy's got a cannonball double." And Carlton was the same thing, a wrestler that went on to play pro football. But in any case, folks, good news. We're going to get rid of this cold weather for a while. We're going to have a nice break. We have another period of cold, and maybe we'll get some snow next week. And then after that, I think the last 2 weeks of January are above normal.
All right. How much time we got left?
About
a minute.
Yep, all right. 1 minute.
Joe, I came across an op-ed you wrote, apparently, online. The headline, it says, "NOAA deploys a new generation of AI-driven global weather models." And apparently you're not a fan.
Well, I'm a fan of them like any model. What I'm not a fan of is the hype that's going on with these models. Right, I was briefing my clients this morning. I said the European AI control run, has got a brutal Arctic outbreak on it coming next week. I mean, it drives a storm up the East Coast, has -4 Celsius in Houston, which would be 22 degrees in Houston. 6 hours later, the whole thing's gone. And my biggest fear with this nonsense is the kind of hype that continually go, "Oh, well, this is the greatest thing." You had Soros 2 years ago. "So, well, we know what day 15 weather is going to be like in Europe." Really? Apparently you didn't understand how cold it was going to get. What's going on in Europe now is brutal. So these things are being hyped. They're being pushed. I'm not saying they're not an improvement.
But if you are a meteorologist worth your salt, what you ought to be doing is looking at every single run of these things that come out, because there are four or five of them, and arm yourself with the fact that they're all over the place like the other models.
And in the meantime, Joe, what should we do with that weather?
Enjoy it. It's the only weather you got.
And Scott and I will be back to talk to you more tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Fox Sports.